Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Matthew 25:40. I am Rob West. Jesus' message is that we'll be judged not by what we have in this world, but by what we are willing to give. Today, I'll talk with Gene McMains about how you can leave a legacy of generosity that impacts the world. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, our guest, Gene McMains, is an executive vice president and an attorney at the National Christian Foundation. Over the last 25 years, she's worked with hundreds of families and business owners to integrate their faith and values into a legacy of generosity. Gene's a friend. We've been working at this together for a long, long time, and it's a great privilege to have her on the program. Gene, welcome back.
Rob, it's great to be here.
Well, we're delighted that you are. And at NCF, I know you have the joy of working with families literally across the country who want to leave thriving and enduring legacies grounded in their faith and values. And perhaps to use a baseball analogy, along the way, you've seen what we might call foul balls and home runs. So maybe you can jump off with that and fill us in.
Absolutely. You know, we all have a heart to do well and position our families to have these thriving and enduring legacies that you speak of, Rob. But I've found that sometimes in our enthusiasm, we can make it a little too complex for that next generation of stewards and to right-size the experience, both in the time involved and the amount of the generosity, giving, granting, stewardship is really important. And I think that's one of the foul balls that, you know, your listeners here can be mindful of. And I remember when I tried to teach my kids how to play golf, Rob, I tried to teach them how to like take a stance and what the club trajectory did. And and when I asked them to go out again, they were like, not interested, Mom. This is a lot
of work.
A little
too technical.
It is. And I was reflecting with my dad one year and he said, Gene, you need to let them fall in love with the game before you try to teach them all the technical aspects. So I think that's a good word for our listeners. Let them learn to fall in love with giving and their expression of it before, you know, you load on the responsibility and all the fine tuning of how they give. Not that both aren't important, but the heart has to lead the how.
Oh, that's so good. And so often, perhaps we get those in reverse order and they miss the excitement and, frankly, the privilege, the joy of being generous. Well, we're going to take a look today at three questions that we all have to answer if we want to leave a meaningful legacy of generosity towards God's kingdom. The first one that people often wrestle with, Gene, as you know, is how do I leave an inheritance that will be a blessing and not a stumbling block? Unpack that for us a bit and how families can navigate this concern.
Oh, boy, this is a big one, Rob. And again, the heart desire of the families is usually they want to see their kids flourish and their grandchildren and their loved ones flourish. And yet, if we don't start with doing the root work and really build on a solid foundation of the role of wealth in our lives, what it is and what it isn't, you know, we have to do that every day, but in the area of inheritance design, it's critical. If we miss this, everything's at risk. So, you know, what do I mean by that? Well, we all can agree that our resources are not where our identity and our security lie, right? Yeah. The Lord Jesus on Calvary earned the right to be the identity and the security. But in this world, it's a constant temptation to develop unanalyzed, you know, unevaluated root threads that somehow our resources are who we are or they're our safety net.
Yes.
They're not the hero and villain of our story, right?
Yes.
And yet we might believe that to be true about ourselves, but we forget that's also true about our loved ones. And so inheritance design, I always like to build on that cornerstone that what we leave behind is a blessing to help fuel the life trajectory that God is working through them. But we have to debunk right out of the gate that whether you leave an abundance or very little, the resources you leave behind will not be the security or the, you know, the plot line in your loved one's life story. So getting a right perspective of wealth is essential.
Yes. Well, that is so key. And I love this idea that, you know, God's always been about our hearts and that our money journey is the training ground of the heart. And if we think about it that way, and as you said, find our identity in Him, that's the beginning place. But then how much is enough or too much to leave to the kids? Well, we'll deal with that and much more just around the corner. Delighted to have Gene McMaines, Executive Vice President and Attorney at the National Christian Foundation today to talk more about all of this. Stay with us on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
On American Family Radio, hi, I'm Barry McGuire. I'm here to help you understand how urgent and how fun it is to share your faith at every opportunity through the eyes of a layman. All of us have people we don't want to be with. Their views are different, their attitude is negative, they're critical of you, and they're the smartest person in the room. And you're supposed to love them and lead them to Jesus? Well, actually, it's not that hard when you make sport out of it. Everyone has a soft spot, and the Holy Spirit will help you find it. Ignore the rhetoric and start asking questions and showing interest in them, and you'll be amazed how fast you'll start understanding the hurt that's making them hurt. It's actually fun. And when they bash you even more, just laugh to yourself and tell God, hey, I need some extra help. He'll give it to you. God will reward you when you're bashed for Him. And when you finally turn that person to a friend, you'll know what a miracle looks like. There is nothing more exciting than knowing God is using you to move people closer to Him. Join us at IgniteAmerica.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
She entered the church triumphant to be with the Lord last week. Though her rule has come to an end, Elizabeth can take comfort knowing her faith in Christ was strong. I'm Charles Morris. Join me all week on Haven Today as we think about monarchs in the Bible who put their trust in the Lord on a series called Royal Faith.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
When it comes to caring for your family, there's one critically important thing many people fail to do before the Lord calls them home. That one thing is to set your house in order. Organize important documents and account information for your loved ones, create a will, and more. If it sounds intimidating, don't worry. The 5-week Set Your House in Order study makes it easy with step-by-step instructions, and you can request your copy with your gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org/house.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. My guest today is Gene McMaines, Executive Vice President and Attorney at the National Christian Foundation. Gene's worked with literally hundreds of families and business owners over the years to integrate their faith and values into their legacy of generosity. Today we're talking about a really important topic. How do you think about transferring wealth to the next generation? What does it look like to leave an inheritance that's a blessing and not a stumbling block? How much is too much? Well, we're unpacking that today. And Gene, before the break, you were sharing that really it's important that we think about the role of generosity in our lives and really transferring wisdom and values before wealth. But the second question that we have to get to is how much is healthy to leave to my kids without doing harm? How do we help folks work through that decision-making process that you encounter?
That's the question everyone loves to jump into, isn't it, Rob? Like right out of the gate. And And we as followers of Jesus, I find we struggle with this. And as I mentioned before the break, you know, how much we leave isn't the hero or the villain. And I think that's important for, you know, people to soak and rest in, that it's going to be okay because God's authoring the story. However, the conversation does have to pivot to how much, right? At the end of the day, those decisions are made. So I think it's important that we change the question to not what's the right amount, but instead to look at the frame the question a little different. Look at what do I want it to do in the life of this child or grandchild or this loved one? I don't know about you, Rob, but I've had couples that literally are sitting across the table from me, and husband, the true story, says, when we pass, we're going to give everything to charity because we've already launched our children. They have education and house, and they're in the business. Sure. And then the wife says, au contraire, everything's going to the kids. We've been very generous to charity along the way. So where do you go with that? I find the way to do that is to change the question. So a cool exercise that your listeners might find helpful. You could honestly do it on the back of a napkin. I encourage you to do it in a reflective, peaceful, joyful place. But write down the names of the loved ones you want to bless with an inheritance. And then ask three questions, Rob. The first one is, what do I hope the inheritance is going to do? And it's kind of the joyful motion picture. Like, if should the Lord choose, what kinds of opportunities and experiences and possessions might be helpful to this child so that they can flourish and pursue all God would have for them?
Yes.
The next question is, what do I anticipate or expect? Now I'm looking at the unique creation God has made in this loved one, their challenges, their giftings, and honestly, a very sober look at their current life trajectory.
Yes.
And you say, if I were to be taken home to be with Jesus right now and these resources fell on that child, it's like fuel in the engine and they're barreling down the highway. What does that look like soberly and pragmatically?
Yes.
And then the final question is, you know, do I have any concerns? Sometimes I call them fears, and it might just be contextual. You know, I worry about work ethic, or I had a story about a neighbor down the street with, you know, addictions or relationship challenges. And so if we can get that out of our heads, even as a couple or individual onto a paper, boy, now we've got something to work with instead of some esoteric number on what's healthy or not.
Oh, that's so good. Well, as you know, our friend David Wills says that we pass not only financial capital, but spiritual capital, character capital. And so it's not all about the money. And Gene, what if somebody asks those three questions and they kind of stop in their tracks like, uh-oh, this could actually take a child who's on the wrong trajectory, not making good life decisions, and actually accelerate that or pull them away from the Lord. What then?
Absolutely. Then you have to soberly look at the amount, because what's the goal? The resources we leave won't be the savior of that trajectory. We know who that savior is. So we want to right size the amount of the fuel in the engine to help our children. I love that old Henry Blackaby study, Rob, all those years ago, experiencing God. Let's see where God's working in the life of that loved one and structure our inheritance to join him there.
And we don't have to wait until we pass away. What about getting them involved in the giving right now?
Absolutely.
That actually could be the fuel behind all of this. I love that.
I kind of infamously, who knows, but with regard to clients, when we're done with the estate planning process or throughout, my question is going to pivot to why wait?
Yes.
The estate plans that thrive and flourish are the ones that have a view on where they want to go. They pragmatically see where they are, and they start pouring into those loved ones now and bringing them on the journey, the discipleship journey of stewardship.
Oh, that's so good. All right, the three questions. What do I hope will come out of this? What do I anticipate or expect? And are there any concerns that I have? All right, Gene, let's move from this second question of how much should I leave to the kids to the third question, and that is, how do I create inheritances that incorporate the family's heritage, story, and values? This is something that is often just not even on the radar of the matriarch and patriarch as they think about their legacy plan, right?
Indeed. And I think it's really helpful for clients before they dive down into the complexity of the estate planning documents and the trust planning that they first elevate it and think in terms of three types of inheritances. Rather than saying family or charity or children or future generations, thinking of it in terms of three can be really helpful. So okay. I think of those as kind of an inheritance to spend to help launch our dependents so they're living independent, productive, and content, you know, life trajectories. That's essential. Sure. From there, though, you can create sort of a common family trust to help shape the family story, to highlight those values and experiences that have been a core part of the family togetherness generationally. And it can provide almost the soil or a playing field for multiple generations to come up and say, hey, let's go be creative together, or let's go be servants together, or let's go do lifelong learning together. Whatever those values are, it's kind of like you create the field of dreams and you fund it and you invite them to come play. I guess the final type of inheritance, if you've got one to spend to launch, one to shape to create this field of dreams that families can come together and live out their values and heritage. And the third type of inheritance is to share. A trust or a charity or a donor advice fund that allow people in the family to come together and go serve others and bless others with the resources God's entrusted to them as part of their legacy.
I love that. You know, it really does change the conversation and gives you a plan or a path to follow depending upon where the Lord is leading you. We're going to have to bring you back and unpack each of those. But before we let you go, we've got about a minute left, Gene. One of the most effective tools to help with all of this is a giving fund or a donor advised fund. Tell us how that can be helpful here.
Oh, absolutely. The donor advised funds allows families to rally around this and intentionally do the giving, the setting aside of resources from the growing of those resources to the granting out the dollars to the individuals and charities they love to support. And by breaking it up, Rob, it allows them to do it together with a prayerful intentionality. So it's simple, it's easy, and it's just a really great little playing field for your family multi-generationally.
Oh, Gene, this was so good. Well, folks, if you want to learn more about a giving fund, head to ncfgiving.com where you can open a giving fund today, and you can connect with someone on the NCF team locally or nationally to begin this conversation. They can even help you with your giving strategy. Again, ncfgiving.com. Gene, thanks for being with us today.
Rob, thank you.
Gene McMains of the National Christian Foundation has been our guest today. Again, learn more at ncfgiving.com. We'll be right back.
As a grandparent or potential grandparent, ever wonder what your role is now in regard to your children's children? From a biblical perspective, I can say that for one thing, it's not done when your children are out of the house. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join Dr. Jamie Mitchell and Dr. Robert Pedersen for a critical discussion on godly grandparents, the spiritual hope for the church. Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
Siri, what's the best way to save for college?
I'm not sure.
Well, what does the Bible say about co-signing for a loan or investing for retirement?
I don't know that either. But you can find those answers on the free MoneyWise app.
Really?
Sure. You can connect with the online community and get answers and encouragement from MoneyWise coaches.
That sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Got it. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
So thankful you've tuned in today to MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom from the Bible to your decisions and choices financially. That's right, as we manage God's money each day, making decisions around lifestyle and our saving and our giving and that which we owe for debt and taxes, how do we do that in a way that honors really the counsel of Scripture, the heart of God as it relates to our money? Here's the reality. He has a lot to say about this topic of money, not because he wants more of it. It's all his. He wants our hearts. And my experience is that the way we handle money is one of the key training grounds of the heart. You see, our financial journey is one of the key ways God shapes our spiritual journey. As we work out our spending and our saving on our knees, saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And how much is enough? And what lifestyle have you called me to? And oh, by the way, how can I help others serve my local church and my giving and those on my path that are in need? What does that look like? And we live in the tension of all of that, asking the Lord for wisdom, because we're not going to find all of the answers in God's word with regard to exactly how much. We need to wrestle through that in prayer. But when we do that in community with one another and spur each other on, and when we renew our minds in God's word, I believe we can allow this area of money to actually be a joy, not something that's a struggle. Money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes when we put it in its proper context and live within God's provision so that we don't accrue debt. Well, how do we manage all of that on a daily basis? Well, we'd love to hear from you, because I'm sure you've got some questions, things you're wrestling with right now in any of these financial categories. We've got lines open today. Our team standing by to take your call. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000, whether it's your lifestyle, that is your spending plan, or how much to save for the future, where to put your savings, how does that emergency fund fit in with your desire to give and pay down your mortgage and pay down your credit cards? How do you wrestle with those priorities? Whatever it might be today, we'd love to hear from you. Whether you call anonymously or we share your name, we'd love to get you on the air quickly. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we'll be taking your calls here in just a moment. Such a joy to have Gene McMains from the National Christian Foundation with us. NCF is a key partner of ours here at MoneyWise Media, serving you and hundreds of our listeners, coming alongside you to help put a giving strategy to your generosity, helping you give in a way that's aligned with God's heart and your passions, but using the most effective tools and strategies to minimize taxes, whether that's giving through a donor-advised fund, which you can do, like a charitable checking account. It's one of the most often overlooked giving tools out there, in my opinion, and one of the most effective, or giving through your net worth, your balance sheet. You know, often we miss the opportunity to give a portion of our business, give appreciated stock. I realize we have less of that these days than perhaps in the past. But what about other assets like real estate or a piece of art? Whatever it might be, the team at NCF can help you give wisely as you think about those giving opportunities. But as we talked about passing that legacy on today, you know, I mentioned that our friend David Wills has written a great article at ncfgiving.com called Three Kinds of Capital We Pass to Our Heirs. You know, often when we think about wealth transfer, we really camp out on the financial side. But before the financial capital that we pass, there's the spiritual capital. That's right. We want to instill spiritual capital first. And by the way, we want to begin early. We want our children and grandchildren to get wisdom. And transferring spiritual capital is intended to happen over a lifestyle. It's simply transferring the gospel to the people who are going to come behind us. That's got to start first. Then there's the character capital, you know, passing the character traits that we want our kids and grandkids to carry on after us, such that we know they'll live productive, God-honoring lives. And often work ethic is a key part of that character capital. We want to think intentionally about how we transfer character capital prior to financial capital. By the way, when we talk about work ethic, there's a beautiful model of godly work ethic in the Bible, and it comes from Proverbs 31. We don't know her name, but she was referred to in Proverbs 31 as a wife of noble character, and there's some really insightful thoughts about her and comments about her in God's Word, specifically related to work ethic, that I'll weigh in on a little bit later in the broadcast. But going back to legacy, there's the spiritual capital, there's the character capital, and then there's the financial capital. Of course, once we get past those first two and keep them in the right order, then we do in fact want to think strategically about how do we give and leave an inheritance, one that will bless our kids and not derail them from the activity that God has for them? Well, as we think about that, these are really important decisions. Keep in mind, folks, the wealth transfer decision is the last stewardship decision you will make. And we want to give a great thought and prayer to that. And we realize that it changes over time. It's not something we do and we're done. We revisit it periodically as our kids age and we see the decisions they're making as our situation and financial affairs change. It's an ongoing conversation. By the way, if you'd like the book that I believe is the very best on this topic, not the mechanics of wealth transfer, but the principles, the questions you need to wrestle with as you put your wealth transfer plan together, including how do you honor your kids and leave an inheritance. The book by Ron Blue, Splitting Heirs, is, I believe, the very best tool for you to read on this topic. Pick up a copy today. All right, let's head to the phones. Again, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Actually, I say that, and we're going to have to hit a break here. Time got away from me. So, Dave, you stay right there. When we come back from our break, though, we will dive into your calls and questions today. So here's the number, 800-525-7000. If you have a question for us today, I'd love to hear from you. No matter the financial topic, we'll dive in and begin to unpack those today and apply God's truths to the situations and choices you're dealing with today. What's on your mind? We'd love to hear from you. This is MoneyWise, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. By the way, be sure to check out our website at moneywise.org and make sure you sign up for a free account. That will ensure that you get our MoneyWise weekly wisdom email. It's Thursday, which means it's going out this morning, and we'd love for you to get a copy of it. Again, moneywise.org, and just create a free account. Back with your calls just after this. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't have to engage in psychological brainwashing techniques and all this nonsense that the left traffics in because they're godless, for the most part. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. That's how we fight.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put just, back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions. We have a few lines open, 800-525-7000. Let's head right to the phones. Dave in Maryland, you're our first caller. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, I want to thank you for your ministry, and in particular, I want to thank you for the information on I-bonds.
Oh, thanks.
And my specific question today is, for several years, I've been contributing to a Roth IRA, the maximum, and I retired last November, but I'm self-employed, and I'm wondering if my self-employment income counts as earned income that I can continue to contribute to the Roth IRA, the max.
Yes, absolutely. So as long as you have earned income and your self-employment income would certainly qualify as earned income because it's really income received from a job or self-employment. So that includes not only wages, but bonuses and commissions and anything that would pass through as a self-employed individual. So you'd be able to contribute if you're over age 50, Dave, $7,000 this year, and your spouse could do the same.
Oh, can that go into the same account, or would I need a separate Roth for her?
No, separate. So, yeah, IRAs are for individuals only. So one Social Security number, there is no such thing as a joint IRA. So you would have one in your name, one in hers. She could make the contribution as a spouse, so a spousal IRA, which is not titled any differently, but she has the ability to put in that $7,000 as well. You would have the ability to do that only up to the earned income that you have.
Okay. Well, that's very helpful. Yep.
Yeah, and is it a good? Is it a Roth you're contributing to, Dave, or a traditional?
It's a Roth. I had traditional through my employment, and I had slowly started taking a small amount out each month and putting it over into the Roth.
Yeah,
and that's been self-directed as far as the investments go.
Good. Well, I like that option because that gives you kind of both buckets to pull from, one that's pre-tax that went in on a tax-deferred basis, and you'll pay the tax as you pull it out, the traditional. Then the Roth, I love that because now you're paying the taxes now. I think the trajectory on tax rates in the future is up, unfortunately. And so you go ahead and kind of lock in and pay those taxes now. You get the tax-free growth. The other benefit, as you're probably aware, is that if you don't need the money, you don't have the required minimum distribution at age 72 with the Roth. So you could just let that money continue to grow until you either need it or you want to pass it on as an inheritance. But I think this is a great strategy, Dave. If you have the ability as you continue to work to keep funding these accounts, that's a great idea.
All right. Well, I sure appreciate your help. And again, thank you for the work that you do.
All right, Dave. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We have a few lines open with whatever you're thinking about financially today. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. To West Virginia, George, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Hello, this is George Legg.
Yes, sir.
I got a question. I'm going to retire at the end of the year, and I'll have a 401k that I'll need to roll over in an IRA. And there's some people talking about a self-directed IRA. I don't know much about it. Is that a good option or not?
It is, George, specifically if you're looking to hold alternative investments. So where these are typically used is for real estate, although it can be used for other alternative investments. But if somebody wants to take an IRA, so whether that's an IRA they contributed to directly or a 401k, by putting that into a self-directed IRA with a self-directed IRA custodian, and you've got to find one that will hold the self-directed IRA, which are slightly different, then it allows you to take the money inside the IRA and invest it in an alternative asset. So if somebody wanted to buy a piece of property, for instance, they'd be able to do that and keep it inside the IRA without taking that distribution and creating a taxable event. So it's a very effective tool that they aren't used a whole lot, but I think can make a lot of sense for you. What are you thinking of doing with the money that would require the self-directed IRA?
I don't need it for income. I'll have Social Security and a pension too.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to put it in something conservative and just hold on to it.
Okay.
And make a little bit of money in the meantime.
Okay, so are you thinking stock and bond portfolio?
Well, I'm invested in the stocks now for roll it over and stay in stocks and take a beating or go with that self-directed IRA.
Yeah, I think the key is, you know, the both of them are IRA. It really ultimately comes down to what investment assets you want to own. So if you want to stay in a stock and bond portfolio, even if you were to move more heavily toward fixed income type investments to reduce some of the volatility in the portfolio and just keep a smaller allocation to stocks, maybe 30% to stocks, 70% to fixed income, maybe with a small allocation to the precious metals, that would kind of stabilize the portfolio. But if you did something like that, George, you really wouldn't need the self-directed IRA. You could do that really in any rollover IRA. If you wanted to move into alternative investments, and again, most commonly, this is where you'd buy a piece of real estate, not a real estate investment trust that's a marketable security, but where you'd buy an actual piece of real estate. That would require a self-directed IRA because a typical rollover IRA would not be able to hold that. So you would have to have the self-directed. So I think you've got to decide what type of investment asset you're looking to go into, and then that will tell you whether or not the self-directed IRA is necessary.
Okay. I found somebody that could do that in their charge is 1% one time fee.
Okay. And to do what? What would they be doing for you?
They will help me with investing in whatever I wanted to invest in and give me a little bit of advice too about what's up, what's down, what looks good.
Okay. Yeah. So that would be typically an investment advisor that you would be hiring. Now, normally, that would be an ongoing percentage that's annual, that's based on the assets under management. Most commonly, you might pay somewhere between 1% and 1.5%, not one time, though, a year. Now, if this is just a straight fee for them to advise you at the outset of the portfolio, and then you're kind of on your own, then, you know, that's different. But if this is ongoing oversight, you probably are going to be paying that percentage each year. But if that's the type of investing you're going to do in more traditional stock and bond type investments, then you don't need a self-directed IRA. You only would need the self-directed if you wanted to buy real estate or, you know, in some cases, cryptocurrency or gold bars or, you know, things that are alternative assets that would not otherwise be able to be purchased inside a rollover IRA. Does that make sense?
Yes, you're talking about all physical investments, right?
Yes. Yeah, typically so. And so those alternative assets would need to be held in a self-directed IRA, and you'd have to specifically seek out a self-directed IRA custodian. But if that's not what you're looking for, then you could stay with just a traditional rollover IRA, and really any investment advisor could help you with that. I'd probably recommend you get two or three folks to weigh in on the appropriate investment strategy for you that also will have differing fee schedules so you can compare them, and I'd check with some certified Kingdom advisors at moneywise.org. We'll be right back. Thanks for your call, George.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Reality TV takes many forms, but the most popular shows often involve some kind of elimination. And the message to each loser is clear: you are not the one. Sure, it's entertaining, but rejection hurts. And rejection happens in all of our lives. It even happened to King David. His deepest desire was to build a temple for the Lord. But God told him, "Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I will raise up your offspring. He is the one who will build a house for my name." And David's response was the right one. He said in his heart, "Yes, Lord." And then he continued to serve God according to what God had called him to do. Anchor Devotional is full of daily encouragement for your walk with Jesus. Try it out at getanchored.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We've got some lines open. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Back to the phones we go. Patrick in Ohio, how can I help you?
Hi, pleasure to be on. I have a question for you related to an IRA that my mother inherited from her brother.
Yes.
It's my understanding that the required minimum distribution that she is to take is based upon the value of the IRA on December 31st of last year. In the past, 8 months or so, there has been some significant losses. And the stock market's not doing too well, et cetera, including, you know, her investments in that IRA. So it's decreased probably at least 23%, maybe as much as 25% in the past 8 months. When she calculates her RMD, her required minimum distribution, is there some way for her to calculate the losses that have occurred in the past 8 months, or does she still have to, you know, take whatever it says on that RMD chart for December 31st, 2021?
Yeah. So it is based on the balance as of the end of the year. So you would actually take it out over that 10-year period, and it has to be, by December 31st of the 10th year, all of that money would have to be distributed out, but it is based on the December 31st number.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Then. All right.
Okay.
Any prediction as to what might happen the next 3 months this year?
No, I stay out of the prediction business, Patrick, because there's really no rhyme or reason to whether the market's going to go up or down in the short term. I think what we can be, what we can count on is the fact that the market will recover ahead of the economy. It always does because it's forward looking at least 6 months. And, I think we will come through this probably sometime by midway through next year, and the market will recover ahead of that. In fact, one of the big banks was out yesterday saying that they believe that by the end of the year, the S&P will fully recover. I think that may be a bit quick, but again, nobody knows. So I think we've always got to take a long-term perspective. The reality here is, this is a blessing, this inheritance. I think she just, needs to follow the rules of how this money comes out, and to the extent she can leave that there and let it grow, that's going to always be to her advantage. But we appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you, and thanks for keeping close tabs on your mom as she manages this IRA. By the way, would encourage her, especially with all these changes going on, to seek out some professional assistance with regard to the tax side of this, just to make sure the proper amount is coming out. If she doesn't normally use the services of a CPA, I think this is probably the year to do it. We appreciate your call. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before we go back to the phones, I mentioned that as we started today, we were talking about legacy. We were talking about how you can pass on a legacy of your faith, and also with great intentionality, pass an inheritance to the kids. And, as you think about that, we often talk about three types of capital: spiritual capital, character capital, and those happen, I think, before even the third, and that is financial capital. As we think about whether the money will be a blessing and draw them unto the Lord, or could actually be a stumbling block. Well, in that character capital category, one of the key character traits we want to pass on is an idea, or is the idea that's clearly rooted in Scripture, around our work ethic. Well, what models can we look to with regard to work ethic? Well, as we go to the Bible, we see that, of course, Jesus is our number one biblical example of how to live. But there's lots of heroes in the Bible, and let me highlight one today you may not think about too much. Now, we don't know her name, but her virtues outlined in chapter 31 of Proverbs are very clear. She's referred to as a wife of noble character. But her actions and attitudes are worth studying and imitating, no matter who you are. This character trait of work ethic really just jumps out off the page in her story. And let me just highlight some of the phrases that describe this woman of noble character. God's word says she works with eager hands. A person of noble character has a positive attitude towards work, knowing that diligence can produce many benefits. It says she gets up while it's still dark, and she provides food for her family. The Bible makes it clear that providing for your family is a primary responsibility. She takes this very seriously. It says she considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Part of the biblical work ethic involves expertise, gaining useful skills, and using them for the benefit of your family and your community. It goes on to say she sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. This hero is aware that living well requires both strength and determination. You don't reach your goals sitting on the couch watching YouTube. It says she opens her arms to the poor. This woman of character is so successful in her work, she's able to be generous with her surplus. Are you working
working just for yourself or so you can help others also? Let's follow her model here. It says she speaks with wisdom. You know, a person of noble character develops enough experience to teach others. Her work ethic is the water that raises all boats because everyone benefits from her industry. It says she does not eat the bread of idleness. It's pretty clear that a biblical work ethic means not being lazy. And the most important quality of the woman of noble character is that she follows and honors the Lord. It says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You know, everything she does comes from a desire to serve God, and all of her success springs from this priority. So while prowess on the turf or the diamond or influence on social media might seem desirable, what really makes life better is godly character, and I would say a biblical work ethic. So perhaps it's time to maybe rethink some of our heroes. We could learn a lot from the Proverbs 31 woman about what it means to live with personal and financial integrity. So let me just challenge you to go back and read Proverbs 31 today and make it a point to follow her example. All right, let's head back to the phones and our remaining moments here on the MoneyWise broadcast today to Miriam in Georgia. You're next on the program. Go right ahead.
I have a son that's sending his child to college, and I'm giving my son part of his inheritance, and I was wondering if I could just put a piece of paper in there along with my will so that that will be subtracted from his inheritance when I pass away.
You know, I would recommend, Miriam, that you have that will updated by an attorney rather than just writing on it. You know, in most states, must be signed by you and by a witness who's not the beneficiary, but it's not advisable to try to amend a will by crossing out portions or writing in the margin. Handwritten changes, have a specific term associated with them, and they aren't legal in every state. So I would encourage you to actually have that updated correctly. Use it as a time to also just review the entire will to see if anything's changed that also needs to be updated. But if you're going to make a change of this kind, I'd prefer you not do it by just slipping something in or making a handwritten change, just to make sure that everything is enforceable and that your wishes are carried out at your death. Okay.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right, Miriam, thank you very much. Listen, if you don't have a godly estate attorney who can help you do a simple update to this, you could check with one of our certified kingdom advisors there in Georgia at moneywise.org. Just click find a CKA. You could do a zip code search. They'll all have a godly estate attorney that they work with, and they could give you a quick referral. Again, moneywise.org, click find a CKA. That stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. Thanks for your call. To Virginia we go. Sam, you're next on the program. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. I got a quick question about annuities.
Sure.
I'm in the process of purchasing an annuity. It's for $75,000, and it's going to pay 4%. It's locked in for 5 years, and then it basically has to be renewed or I could move it somewhere else. I don't really need the money, but I want to generate some extra income. It would bring in about $250 a month. I was wondering if there's anything better out there, or should I just go ahead and run with what this is? It's with, can I mention the name?
Well, the name doesn't really matter. You know, I think the key here, Sam, I'm not a huge fan of annuities. Is the primary objective here just that you don't want to assume the risk and you want to transfer that to the insurance company?
Basically, it's just sitting there, and I just want to generate some more income, and I haven't found anything out there better right now.
Well, I just think the opportunity right now is, you know, a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. I mean, the market's down. Could it go down more? Sure. But if you've got 5 years or more as a time horizon,
I think you'd do better over the long haul as opposed to locking the money up with the surrender charges and the penalties that come with the annuities. I think you'd just do better investing on your own, probably finding an investment advisor to take this for you and get it deployed into some high quality investments. You'd be investing at a time where the market's already seen some significant declines, especially with rates headed up. I think there's going to be other opportunities available to you. So that would probably be my best recommendation, Sam, as opposed to going to an insurance product. But if you're looking to transfer the risk away from yourself, then an annuity could be the option. And this is short enough in the time horizon that I don't think I would have too much of a problem with it. So we appreciate you checking in with us. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling. Hey, that's going to do it for us today, folks. Let me say thank you to my team today, Mr. Adam Suddeth, Pat Montague, and Robert Sutherland, serving as our MoneyWise team today. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. I hope you have a great rest of your day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll look for you then. May God bless you. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.